please. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 11. Psalm 11. The psalmist writes in verse 3, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations of a society or of Israel is taken away, what can the righteous do?" Let's pray together. Righteous Father, we know that your foundations are destroyed, that this country was built upon. And we are in a very dark hour. We thank you for the good news that is to every person in this room and to every person on the face of this earth, that you so loved the world, Almighty God, that you gave your one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would never perish but have everlasting life. And I thank you that you're the foundation of God stands sure in his church. And this church has your foundation with the inscription written upon it, "Let those who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Lord, there are many here who name your name, Jesus, as their Lord. I pray that you would speak to all of us today about that matter, and that we would weigh our lives on your balance, Jesus. We are so in need of your Holy Spirit to help us to live godly in this present evil world. We need you more than ever, Lord. Please fill me in with your Spirit and bring honor and glory to your name and word. In Jesus' name, amen. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? I really feel in my heart that last week, the Supreme Court put a nail in my heart about our nation. I don't know, of course, most of us know that it was on July the 4th, 1776, that the American forefathers made a bold statement of declaring this nation's separation from British colonization and rule to become an independent sovereign nation under God. That decision is the foundation of the early colonies' freedom. And of course, the document that was written to make this declaration is now celebrated, the Declaration of Independence. Today, we really have very little historical context, though, in our celebration. Independence Day celebration, but this document's and its purpose was the foundation for forming our nation's independent, democratic republic. And by that I mean it was designed to be a nation of the people, for the people, or by the people, and for the people. Now, I believe that what's happening today is changing everything. And I need to stick to my notes. I type these notes out from my heart, and this message is from my heart today. And so it's going to be somewhat alarming, because my heart is alarmed. Yesterday, 239 years later, we celebrated this great nation's birth. America, known as the land of the free and the home of the brave, and it still is. It is supposedly a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, although it has become so corrupt by what is to me so many immoral influences of greed that one wonders if today's elections of government aren't more bought by the rich than won by the leaders of common sense and visionary leadership. We are far from the godly, wise, visionary leadership of our founding fathers. We are so far from those days. Yesterday, I was sent a text that was spoken by George Washington, and I don't know if I put it, but no nation can govern itself without God and His Word. And we've left that. I think we are very aware of that. But I believe this, and we are far from the godly, wise, visionary leadership of the founding fathers. America is a nation like all other nations that is directed behind the scene by global powers of monetary control. Whether we recognize or want to recognize it, we are living in a one-world government, a global economy that is waiting for the crowning of its antichrist, anti-God leader. In front of our eyes, we have watched this country that we love become more and more secular, antichrist, anti-Bible, forsaking ideals of the founding fathers, and it becomes more socially minded, looking to government to take care of us and solve our national and global problems. We no longer look to God to solve problems. We look to the government. That's where we're looking. Save us, oh, Mr. Whoever. Like the government, religious establishments and society in ancient Bible Israel in Jeremiah's days, we have committed two evils. And I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, the prophet wrote the two evils that Israel in its day of turning away from God committed. Verse 12, Jeremiah 2. Be astonished, the prophet writes. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The first evil that ancient Israel committed, they had abandoned drinking at the fountain springs of living water. That is, at God and His Word. They no longer sought wisdom. They no longer sought God for His supply. Did you hear that? This country no longer seeks God for His supply, for His strength, for His wisdom. In fact, they've thrown out His wisdom, and they've hewn out broken cisterns to try to hold their philosophies and their so-called wisdom. They abandoned the Lord as their source of spiritual salvation, of supply and safety. They've abandoned His laws. Look with me to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. Verse 8. How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do you have? If you reject the words of God's wisdom in his in the Bible, what wisdom do you have? You have man's wisdom. You now broken cisterns that will not hold water. And that's exactly what this country is in. This country has hewn out a philosophy of humanism, of course, built on evolution. We have rejected the Creator God long ago, and we have created our own God. My thinking. What I think. And we have become moral relativists. Secondly, they dug out cisterns, notice their own efforts, and they think that their own efforts are going to hold drinking water. Problem was, the cisterns they dug broke, and they held no sustaining waters. Instead of faith in the Lord, they had their faith in their own thinking. And that was the two evils that Israel committed, and I believe that's the two evils that America's committed. And my heart is aching. In fact, it's broke. I said, my heart is sick as a biblical Christian. And as an American, as I see no hope, I see no hope for national repentance. I see no hope for the future for this country. I don't. I'm sorry. You can pray for revival. I pray for revival of the church. But I see more and more the youth of this generation turn to accepting such an evil, liberal philosophy of abortion on demand, of homosexual rights. It's not uncommon, and I don't say this with any condemnation, but it's not uncommon to have a couple visit our church, and even some to stay and some to get married. That's the neat part. But it's not uncommon for a couple to come into this church professing Christ and living together in immorality. And they're professors of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't say that to throw stones at them. I'm just saying that the younger generation has accepted a morality of that fits their thinking, not God's word. Now let me go on here. And again, I'm not wanting to throw stones. I'm glad that people come here. And I believe that they'll find truth if they will humble themselves to it and find life and freedom. And God's will. Getting back, I see no hope for national repentance as it is far removed from, as this nation is far removed from and ignorant of the Creator God, the true Almighty God, let alone the Bible's moral authority that guided our founding fathers. Here's George Washington's statement. It's impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible. America, like Israel of old, before God judged it, has made their own God that caters to their lifestyle of filthy hooking up, of drugs, drunkenness, lovers of pleasurable fun more than lovers of God. And by the way, I'm describing our generation, but I want you to know I'm not condemning them because I was once in that generation, even as a hippie. Do you understand what I'm saying here? This youth lifestyle hasn't changed really that much. The hippies were probably just as bad. Except we had a conscience. We were taught right and wrong. We knew what was right and what was wrong. This generation doesn't acknowledge God. They don't acknowledge that their sin is wrong. In fact, they've made a God that fits into their lifestyle. They've made up their own God that caters to their lifestyle of filthy hooking up, of drugs, drunkenness, lovers of pleasurable fun more than lovers of God. The God they have crafted in their imagination fits their thinking of moral individualism, not divine absolute lordship, let alone judgment to an eternal torment in the lake of fire, if they do not repent and bow to Jesus as Lord and Savior. America has enthroned a God like Israel in the historical time of the judges, when every man did that which was right in his own mind. Every man did what was right in his own thinking. There was no God thinking. They worshiped idols, and they worshiped immorality. In Jeremiah chapter 8, 4 through 9, turn there with me. We're in Jeremiah chapter 8, but verse 4. Moreover, you shall say to them, this is what God says to Jeremiah, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back? Jerusalem in perpetual backsliding. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course. As the horse rushes into the battle, even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look at the false pens of the scribe. That's the religious men. Certainly works of falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Now look with me. Jeremiah continues in this very chapter, 21. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? Jeremiah is saying, there's no medicine that can heal this nation. There's no balm in Gilead. There's no medicine in Gilead. And it's talking about the area of Gilead that there was just a bush that gave balm and healing. And Jeremiah said, there's no balm of healing for this people. And I truly don't believe there's balm to heal America. But I do believe this, that there's balm to heal individuals in America. And I believe that we should not give up, nor ever give up, preaching the gospel of Christ to every person. In Jeremiah chapter 8, 4 through 9, 21 through 22, the prophet preached against a morally decaying society, and he had the same sense that I have today over America. It is so morally corrupt, described with a spiritual metaphor as sick, but there was no medicine, no medicine in Gilead. There was no doctor to heal them. Why? 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 Was there no doctor or medicine for them? Because they didn't want to go to Dr. Jesus. to repent of loving the world and themselves. They didn't want to pick up the cross. They didn't want to deny their selfish desires and follow him. They'd rather go to doctor, make-believe God, and get a feel-good pill that will tickle their ears and make them feel good about their nauseating, self-centered, worldly, Laodicean lifestyle religion. Their doctor feel-good God lets them believe whatever they think is right is. Whatever commitment level they want to have is more than enough with their imaginary made-up God. Don't try to make me believe all that Jesus' lordship over all that. Jesus is Lord over all that stuff. It's my life is the only truth that matters. Don't try to brainwash me. Don't try to tell me Jesus is Lord of my money. Don't try to tell me that Jesus is Lord of my morality. So what are you talking about? You surely know that more and more of Christendom is embracing the sins of our society. You surely must know that. And these are people who say they believe in Jesus Christ, who say that the God of love would never punish anybody like that or other sins. Don't try to brainwash me. That's not the God that fits my lifestyle. I don't want to repent of my drunkenness. I don't want to repent of my smoking dope. I don't want to repent of my immorality. I don't want to repent of my homosexuality. I don't want to repent of that, but I want to go to heaven. Well, just make up a God, whatever you want to make him. You'll be all right. There'll be a church that'll take you in, and everything will be peace. That's what the preachers in Jeremiah's day, Jeremiah's preaching judgment's coming, and you know what the preachers in the places of established religion were preaching? Oh, don't listen to Jeremiah. Peace, peace. Everything's going to be okay. And they were lying because God was bringing judgment for their sin. Well, anyway, let me keep going. Many people come to even a church like this one. Here, God loves them. Gave his only son to die for their sin on the cross. And if they believe that tidbit of love, they're okay, and they'll be okay to continue to think and live the way they want to think and live. And that's an acceptable message that fits into their thinking. So they accept and add that feel-good God to their minds. But when confronted with the true God of Scripture, that is the Creator and the morally holy Lord over the entire universe, that looks down upon the hearts of every person and declares their self-willed thinking lifestyle as rebellion to his rightful lordship. But out of love and mercy, the true God of the Bible does two things. First, he sends his only son. He sends his only son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And you know why he sends them? Because of the horribly immoral society that is headed for hell, and he doesn't want them to go there. He wants them to repent. He sends his only son into the world to horrifically die on a hateful cross for humanity's sin of self-willed living, and raises him from the dead and exalts him back to the right hand of the Father. Then second, when we agree with God that our worldly lifestyle thinking is rebellion to our Creator's rightful desire for us, when we agree When we agree with God that our rebellious thinking that the world is living in is sin and has killed the only Son of God, when we agree with that, that we are broken sinners, when we acknowledge His gracious gift of atonement, payment for our sins' debt in Jesus' death, when we acknowledge His gracious gift of payment for our sins by Jesus' death, and we believe Jesus is Lord over all, proved by His bodily resurrection from the dead and His ascension back to the Father's right hand, upon this recognition of and our sorrow for our fleshly minded living against God's intended purpose for which He created us in His moral likeness. And we call upon the name of Jesus to save us from our inward dominion of sin and give me His Holy Spirit into my heart that I might be created again into His image. Look at it with me to Ephesians chapter 4. You see, God didn't send His Son just to give us a free ticket out of hell. He gave His Son so that we might be remade or reborn. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that is in Jesus, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. I think Christians live like that. I think Christians today are probably not a whole, I'm not talking about you. But I think we walk around in vanity of our thinking, filling our minds with vanity, things that don't matter to nothing, like Dave Grazier's dad said on his deathbed. His dad said to him, the only thing that matters at this point in my existence, in my life, is what I have done for Christ. Let me tell you something. That's going to be the only thing that will matter to you when you face death in the eye. But today, people, the Gentiles that are unsaved, they walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. They're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling, past conviction, past conscience, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness for more and more. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct or lifestyle. Put it off, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed, renovated in your mind. Take the old out, put the new in. Quit going to the places and talking like the people of the world. Stop that. Stop that. Quit thinking that God doesn't see you. He does. He looks down from heaven on the hearts of every person in this room today. He looks at your heart and He sees your heart. And He wants you, in verse 24, put on the new man, Jesus Christ, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Exclusivity of Jesus Christ's atonement and lordship brings the declaration of freedom from this world and the flesh and the devil's tyranny over my soul. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. Turn there with me. You say, I know these verses. I don't care. Turn there anyway with me. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lusts of it. But he who does the will of God will abide forever. I'm saying to us this morning, that we cannot make God who we want him to be. There's only one true God, and that's the God of this book, the eternal, almighty God who so loved the world. He did give his only son, but he calls us to repent of our lifestyles and turn to him, to repent of our hooking up, and so on and so on and so on, to repent of all that's involved with the internet, to repent of sin, the things that we do in secret that we think nobody sees, that are done right in the eyes of God. Whether right or wrong, I've given up on the battle for this nation's soul. To me, God's plan is set and the devil's moments going on. This nation has forsaken the fountain of living water, God's wisdom and truth, and it's chosen to dig its own broken cisterns that will not hold spiritual wisdom or sustenance. But I have not given up on the battle for the individual. The individual soul to repent and believe in Jesus Christ as the true Lord and the only source of life, liberty, and the pursuit of true and lasting happiness. The Lord God, whether we can see it or not, is the sovereign ruler over this universe, including planet Earth. Humanly speaking, it looks as if he's not ruling over the hearts of America right now, as their decisions reflect rebellion to his creation and his desires. Today, the kingdom of God is in the heart of individuals, and you must be born again to see that kingdom. And collectively, in the true church, Christ will ultimately rule the nations. Can I hear an amen? But today, he wants to rule in your heart. Can I hear an amen? It's true. Is he ruling your life? Let's pray together. Lord, today we can gather a crowd to play softball, but we can't gather a crowd to pray. My heart aches. Because sometimes, without realizing it, we can become no different than the world. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I can only beg you, God, that you would accomplish your will through this message. And I pray that there's one here that is sick of their sinful life and wants a new life in you, Christ, that they would respond and even come forward during this invitation and hear the good news of the forgiveness of all their sins and the receiving of your Holy Spirit if they are wanting you as Lord. I just pray for your will and your honor and glory in this invitation and communion time now. In Jesus' name, amen.